Good morning. We are here once again on Grace Talk. I am Michael Stamps. We have
Chris Payne,
Corey Lee,
and Kim Lee.
Well, Kim is our special guest today. And we're glad to have some more wisdom in this room.
That's right. That's right.
Man, I think I said it on one of our podcasts before. I say I'm thankful for the good thing that God put in my life. And you know, the scripture says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. And so I'm glad that he put those women in our lives, because sometimes we can forget some stuff. Hey, honey, you forgot to put the right socks on. You got a black one with a blue one. They can see these things, you know.
And now that you say that, so he who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. So what's that favor, man? My wife telling me I got the wrong socks on.
yeah, for sure.
Protecting you, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're thankful to have you on today, and we know you're going to be able to share some wisdom, because I believe that we all should always have a balance and not be so what I use the beach ball mentality. Like, I can see blue on my side, you see green, she sees yellow, and you see red. But what you can do with that beach ball is kind of turn it around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you can see a different perspective, and that's what we're here for. We want to grow in wisdom. We want to grow in grace, faith, and space. So that's just what we're going to do. So let's kind of talk about the weekend. We'll just see where that goes. But, man, just the weekend with the youth, kind of start that off, what we just experienced this weekend.
Yeah. So we had a group of YWAM students in this past weekend. Absolutely amazing. They are doing a 50-state tour, so going to every one of the states. Mm. And one of the things they're wanting to do is not only preach the gospel, but equip Gen Z to, you know, take the gospel to their schools and their communities and their families. And there's something that you guys said, I think I heard actually both of you guys say it, that watching them, they are stirring up. I know they're coming for Gen Z, but it's actually stirring up the older generation. And there's a space for that Gen Z, they're on fire. They're, you know, hungry for the Lord. And then for us to be fathers and mothers to disciple them and to maybe give them some wisdom and all of that kind of good stuff. And so we did a couple worship nights. We saw salvations. We saw healing. We saw a guy who is actually on his way to commit suicide, decide to turn into where we were at. And, you know,
man, we got to get some claps on that. Like, you know, we got to get some applause on that, because that's a man.
Amen.
Somebody's eternity has changed.
Just think about it for a second, right? Like, so we were doing this at the cross. Chris has been praying for somebody from Texas to come there. This dude was literally driving from Texas. He sees us out there worshiping, and something draws him there, and, you know, he ends up giving his life to Jesus. And,
thank you, Lord.
And he was actually on his way to commit suicide.
Wow.
You know, that's wild. So, anyway, those are just some of the things. And what was cool for me was watching our kids be excited. Like, there was something that was sparked on the inside of them that they were – their next stop is in Birmingham, Alabama, and our kids are like, can we go to Birmingham?
Wow, you know, that's awesome.
And to me, that's cool.
It is. Yeah. It is. My daughter, like I said, I was telling y'all a little earlier, that Saturday night, she was all in. It was like, you can see it in her facial expression, and just even her demeanor. Yes. Yes, I want what you have. Yeah. And like I was sharing a little bit yesterday with the church is, you know, that our children are looking for their next step.
That's right.
They're not going to be 40 and 50-year-olds or 35-year-olds yet. They're going to be in those teens and then the 20s. And so when they see somebody that's 19 and 20 that's on fire for the Lord, like, oh, this can be fun. This can be that my stand for Christ can be bold, because I see somebody that I want to be like. What I mean, like, I see the fire in them, and that's what, you know, I feel like it's stirring in me. So I'm just grateful for that, and get that exposure for my daughter and son as well, you know, that they can see people that other next season or transition.
And so, that's good, you know, is it the exposure, because a lot of times, you know, it's not that they don't want it. They just don't know what's available. They don't know that there's more, or just the stirring up yes. and just being able to expose that, especially with another younger generation that's bold for Jesus.
Yes.
And it's like I was praying as well throughout this week, like, There's a generation of older and younger that's hungry.
Yes.
We just got to remind them what they're truly hungry for, mm-hmm. because if not, they'll end up trying to eat something else.
Right.
And so one of the people that came up for prayer last night was a 14-year-old young kid. And, I mean, he was locked in the whole time. And he came up for prayer. He said, man, I just want to, you know, I just want that next. I just want that next step. You know, I just want to, you know, yes. And that's what it was, you know. And it's not anything like, okay, A, B, and C, do this, turn around four times and jump up and all this other stuff. It's just, you know, and it's like, it starts with that, just a birth and a desire for more, for a hunger and desire for thirsting and righteousness. It's like, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall what? Be filled.
That's exactly
and
right.
And so that's all, it's like that willingness. And I believe that young man just stepping out amongst his other peers, you know, he stepped out like, I don't care what they think. I don't care if they're going to look at me differently. I don't even care if they think I'm going up there for salvation.
Yeah.
I'm going up there because the Holy Spirit is drawing me, that I want more. There's more. And I believe it's that faith step. Now, is there something that's going to radically change because he, you know, moved? I believe, you know, a big part is him taking that step of faith,
absolutely.
You know, and just putting some action. It's just like I said last night as well, you know, keep on asking and you'll receive. Keep on seeking and you will find.
That's right.
Keep on knocking and the door will be open.
Yes.
What's the key word right there? Keep on. Yeah. And so asking is this part right here. So I keep on asking. It's me asking. It's me praying. It's me speaking to my Heavenly Father. And why would I stop asking? It's just like my son. He would stop asking me for things because he thinks, okay, Daddy's not going to give it to me. So I'm going to stop bothering him. I'm going to stop asking him. No, the Lord says keep asking. Keep on asking. And then keep on seeking. Seeking is meditating. Like, okay, I'm going to change my mindset. I'm going to think on the things above, not the things on here on the earth. And so keep seeking. Well, it hadn't happened yet. We'll keep on seeking. Well, I don't see it yet. We'll keep on seeking, because sometimes it don't change your perspective. I mean, sometimes it don't change your circumstance. It changes your perspective, and it changes you. But then the last part. So the first part is keep on asking. That's you speaking. Keep on seeking. That's you meditating.
Yeah.
Keep on knocking. What is that? That's an action step. That is an action step. That is you knocking.
That's so good.
And there's so many people that's at the door. They've been asking and they've been seeking, but they're not knocking. What are you? I mean, what's your knock? I don't know, but maybe it's just some faith step of stepping out and doing something differently than you always done. Because what's happened? Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to expect. Beautiful, because you're going by faith. He says, Hebrews 11:6. He says, faith, I mean, it's impossible to please God. Faith. You got to have faith to please God, because we must believe that he is one who rewards those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
And so just take a step of faith, whatever it is, towards something. And I believe God honors that. And I believe that young man, that 14-year-old young man last night, took that step of just knocking. You know what? God, I'm stepping out.
Yeah.
I'm stepping out.
Man, you know, when you said that, it reminded me of actually two things. Yesterday, that was the thing that I felt like the Holy Spirit was trying to teach, even in when people are, look, I'm seeking for the Holy Spirit. I'm seeking for that next, but it's the place of understanding that you got to come with a desire.
Yeah.
And you got to know that you got to become empty.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're trying to come with things that's already still inside of us. We got to be willing to give those things up. And so when I shared that, then I had a young man that I know, phenomenal musician. I mean, can play every instrument, travels all over the place. And God has really been dealing with his heart. Like he's came a few times when we do our Bible study. And I remember we sat outside and he says, I'm seeking for the Holy Spirit. He said, I want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then I saw something that he posted yesterday. And he says, you know, I'm at this point in my life that God is saying that until further notice, I'm not taking any more engagements. I'm not traveling. I'm not playing any music. I'm just seeking his face.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I instantly messaged him. I said, man, that's when you know you're going to be empowered.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you're not already empowered, because you, with the steps that you're taking, many people, they, you know, they like the gift. And it almost make them think that they are. I've been talking about some things about relevancy with people. But I think that a lot of times if we let that gift get in front, we miss God supposed to be in that place. And sometimes we have to give him the same thing that he gifted us with. Put it back at his feet. This keeps us in a place that we're not in pride. This keeps us in a place that, God, you gave me this.
Amen.
That I fully trust you. And this is my last thing, and I'll let y'all come back in. And then the other thing is, I was thinking about, I just put in my men's group a question. I said, what's the difference in belief and faith? Because it hit me when I was driving, dropped my son off, and I was thinking, a lot of people believe, but then where's the faith? And I think a lot of times there is a separation, because like even with belief, you can say you believe something, but you don't fully go all the way in. But that faith is part of the, you got to have the works, but the faith is part of the working of what you were saying to activate, you know, to do more than I do believe. But what was the, I think it's in, what's that in Matthew? It talks about the one that says, well, help my unbelief, you know?
Yeah.
Father, I believe, but help my unbelief. So I think that word unbelief is a little, it had a belief in tangible.
Yeah.
But then there was something else that he needed to have his power in. And so anyway, I just was thinking about that. So.
Yeah, I believe it'll work out, but I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to step into it or whatever. Yeah. And so there is a faith step.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll say one thing on, as you were talking about asking and seeking and knocking, and a lot of times it changes our perspective, and it reminded me of a story. Our daughter, she came to me one day and she said, Daddy, I know you're going to say no, but can we go to the trampoline part? And I was like, how you going, you're going to ask a question and you're going to say it like that.
Yeah.
When you go, but it was a beautiful thing, because I was able to give her a different perspective. It's not like we don't want to go to the trampoline park whenever you ask. It's not like we don't want to do fun things. It's just sometimes we can't, right? Yeah. We've already got things that we're doing. And I want to have fun. I want to do those things. It just, sometimes we can. But you know what? This time we can.
Yeah.
So let's go. But it allowed me to speak into that perspective shift that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Keep asking. But sometimes I think we go to the Lord with that same kind of attitude. Lord, I know you're going to say no, but.
Yeah.
But can I?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's trying to teach us as well in that, you know. And sometimes he doesn't answer because, like it says, I think in James, you ask, but you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives.
That's right.
So it's not so much like, oh, you're wrong and you're bad, but like, no, son and daughter, let me teach you. Let me show you that the motive that you have behind this is not really what you want. I mean, you think you want it, but this isn't what you need. Let me kind of check. And so, if we can perspective just the loving father that we have like that, that he's not trying to be, mean or anything. There's no good gift that our father withholds from us. And so he's trying to teach us.
That's good. That's definitely good. So,
yeah, and you think about what God does with a yes. Sometimes he's just waiting on us, right?
Yes.
And so when we get God's heart on something, we align with him, we give him our yes. He can take that, what we feel like is such a small yes at times, or sometimes it feels really, really big and really big risk.
Yeah, that's good.
He can take that and use it.
Yeah,
that's think
good.
About the momentum of God. Think about these YWAMers that said yes to come all across the United States. I was talking with one of them last night, and I said, I don't think y'all understand the ripple effect this is going to have. I said, even like Corey said, with our kids and Braden and your daughter being out there, they soak this up.
Yeah.
It will be weeks from now, and Brady will say something about this night.
Yes.
It will be a year from now, and he'll point back to this night.
That's right.
So this is a marking moment for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so as you go about, know that work, God is still carrying that work.
Yes, that's so good.
Of your yes to come here. Mm. So,
Yeah, and I was sitting here thinking, even what you saying that sometimes maybe we get caught up because the crowd is not big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the sense, where's the whole crowd?
Mm-hmm.
But they're there. We can't see the years. We can't see the months. We can't see the days that's happening next. But we see the ones that needed to have the planting, the seed, and then we see the ones that needed to have the water, and then we'll see the harvest. Mm-hmm. So I think that like she's saying about the yes, just commit to the yes. And God gave me an acrostic. He deals with me in a lot of acrostics. So, but he gave me an acrostic for yes, and it's your eternal servant.
Amen.
You know, that's the thing that we got to continue to do, because I want to hear, well done.
Good and faithful servant.
Yeah. So that's that yes that we should continue to pursue after. But we're talking about this. What, and even because last, you know, yesterday, it just seems like with the youth, there's a boldness. Mm-hmm. There's a boldness that that we're seeing. And I think it's becoming a place of it's becoming infectious. And so how do we keep that fire burning? How do we keep that fire burning? And I'm reminded, you know, going back to Acts, we were talking about a little bit of this, but just seeing how they waited in chapter 2 and what they experienced, right? And those people, that when they experienced this, there was transformation. But then on down in the fourth chapter, we see that that the Holy Spirit continued to do some things.
That was a good point you made, you know, yesterday,
I just think that how do we keep these things burning? Because I think, you know, a couple of weeks I had that youth thing, and we had 13 that wasn't even our church, but they came and gave their life to Christ. But then I come back and I look and just analyze some things. I felt like I should have did some other things, follow up a little bit better in those areas. So I guess that's the thing. What are some good follow-ups you think that we could do in these areas to keep the fire burning and stuff? So,
you know, I think that's so important, because I want to end more on fire than where I began, and even to where I am right now. And I think even Pastor Bill Johnson talks about, he said, hey, you're on fire right now, but I want to see you in 20 years.
Yeah.
I want to see you burn in 20 years from now. And I've thought a lot about that. I think there's a couple of things. Is God's going to give you the moments, right, like those highs and those kind of things. But I still think guarding those precious times that you have with him in that secret space, like that is where the fire is, and being around other people as well. Michael Stamps, you talked yesterday about God speaking to you with the leaf, that one leaf, it would not burn.
Mm.
But whenever you put that one leaf on fire and you put it into a pile of other leaves, the whole thing caught on fire. And so I think community is important as well.
Yes.
And this is honestly something Kim and I have talked about, you know, finding community is like, at what point do you just settle? And I don't think you can.
Wow.
I just don't think you can.
No,
right?
You can't.
Like, it just can't. And because, you know, in business, we talk about you are the average of the five people closest to you. And so what kind of community are you hanging out with as well? And I think, what are you feeding your mind? What are you allowing into your gates? Solomon said, above all else, anything, guard your heart. And your heart is that deep part of you. It says, and Jesus, he talks about, because from there flow the issues of life. And Jesus talks about from that, you know, from the inside is what comes out.
Yes.
And
that's what defiles a man.
That's right.
So
Paul talks about that take every thought captive. That's like any thought that comes in, I want to grab it by the collar and say, is this thought for me or is this thought against me? But when I was writing my book, I did some research. The average person has between 30,000 and 90,000 thoughts per day. 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts you had the day before.
Come
90% of those thoughts are the same. So we're not really thinking about it, right?
Like,
we're just allowing anything access through our gates. And what Paul is saying, you got to put a guard at the gates.
That's good.
And Solomon is saying the same thing. Above all else, guard your heart. And so when I think about this, something I've been thinking about a lot is, like, I guard my gates. I think even I heard Michael say one time, I want to steward well my eyes, right?
Yeah.
I want to steward well my ears.
Yeah.
And I think those are just some things. And
yeah.
I think those are also some things that we could easily say, well, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It's not that big. We could easily, it is easy, to compromise small little things with stuff like that. But I think that's how you keep that fire burning.
That's
too,
so good. So you recognize the value of what you have.
Yes.
You recognize it, and you're slow to, you make the right decision because you what you care. And I when I was talking about even with the Holy Spirit, we got to understand that it's a person. Mm-hmm. And but this person wants to override our personality. Like, it wants to be the one that, look, I'm going to show you a better way. But he is a spirit that, hey, however you want to do it, I'm not going to override you if you're not giving me a place of, like you're saying. But when we're in that place of going back to prayer, like you said, that place of continue to come to Christ, come to God, and you just saying, God, I decrease today. And I think that was one of the biggest things I was thinking about with Jesus. Like, he had the Holy Spirit. He had it. But then he still had to come back to that place when he was at the garden to say, I got to continue to kill myself with the wills that I have. So I'm communicating to God to say, hey, these are some places that I need to be honest about. God already knew them. But he's just showing us how we got to be and to be that open and honest person, to be transparent. Because now when we get those things out, like clean those thoughts out, we're clearing those things out. But when you sit there and you meditating on those negative things and I said, well, I'm not going to be able to like we talk about. Well, I don't have the education to be a Bible scholar. I can't be a pastor. I can't be this. And everything I have heard from everybody else are like Moses. I can't talk, And you dwell on those things. You're missing the whole opportunity for the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to say, hey, throw that out. Let me come in.
Exactly.
And let me show you what I can do.
Exactly.
And if we can continue to have that place of being open, but it's a constant daily walk. And I think that's one of the things that I really want. It blew my mind because I never saw it like that. I was like, Lord, am I hearing you right? But it's that daily walk, not what he did yesterday. And that's good. He done what yesterday, but today is a new day. We need a daily bread. So I got to continue to walk. Like Corey said, I got to think that I want to end on fire instead of just being so caught up at how I began. I done this back in 1999. Well, that was 1999. Exactly. We're in 2024 now. So I think that's the challenge for all of us, that we got to understand that Jesus is enough. And then when he becomes enough for us, that's when we get to a place that even what he said, I thirst, that we continue to thirst. I thirst that I want more of you. I don't care what I got yesterday, but I want more of you today because I need more. And the more we do that, I think we get out of that place of complacency and staying on fire. So,
So what I hear you saying is come expectant.
Yes.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Expecting that when I walk out of my tent, there's going to be manna on the ground.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
So be expectant every day.
Yeah. That's so good. That is so good. Even sitting here and, it seemed like we're talking about, a lot of even with the spirit and how to just continue to go forward. What's my next step? Before you could get to your next step, you're going to have to clear out that closet.
That's good.
You got to clean out some things that you thought there was relevance to you, but there were no relevance to God. So,
that goes into, I don't know if, I seen Kim over there look up a scripture, so I don't want to take it if she was anything that she was going to say. It's like you were talking about, it wasn't what you were talking about, but the man that came up, he said, what I got to do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said, follow these commandments. Have you done this? He said, yes, I've done that. I've kept all those. I haven't committed adultery, hadn't done this, hadn't done all these other different things.
Merit badges.
Yeah, come on now. and since I was a little boy. And so many people, we hold on to that. Man, I haven't done that. I haven't done drugs or alcohol, or I haven't done this. I'm a good person. Like, I've done all this, and I'm whatever the case may be. And then he said this. He said, one thing you lack. And he's like, okay, what is that? He said, go and sell all your possessions.
Come on.
And come and follow me. And I'm taking this from my wife because she gave me, when we did this revival last week, she's the one that kind of brought it in perspective for me. And the guy went away with his head down, and he was sad. And then it goes on to say more, because Peter then asks, he's like, man, this is impossible, Jesus. Who can do this? He said, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so there's things that we're trying to do. I got to ask you this question real quick. Come on now. Are you trying to do the possible, or are you trying to do the impossible? Because if you're trying to do just the possible, you don't need him in it. But if you're trying to handle the impossible, that's where you need God in it. And so here he is, and the disciples asked him, he said, how can we ever do this? He said, with man, it's impossible. But with God, it's possible. All things are. Right. And then he said this. Then Peter says this. He says, what about us? We've left everything to follow you. What will we get? And I believe that's okay for us to have a desire to ask that sometimes. Because you got to understand, you know, though you will sacrifice lots of things, it will be worth it. Let me say it again. It will be worth it. There is a reward. There is reasons for it, you know?
Yes.
We're not doing it to seek the rewards, but, I mean, it's going to be worth it. And so Jesus didn't rebuke him or anything, but he did tell him. He says, truly, I tell you, anybody who has left fathers, mothers, homes, houses, I mean, wives, field, work, all that stuff,
right,
for me and the kingdom and for the gospel will receive 100 times more now in this present age and also in eternal.
Yes.
And so he's saying not only when you get to heaven, but there's rewards here on earth.
Come on, man.
And then he said also persecution. But here's the thing about it. You may not get it back exactly how you thought it, but it's going to be so much better.
Mm.
Spiritual riches, like greater than you could ever think. But you got to be willing to sacrifice some things.
Man.
You got to be willing to get rid of some things. And Kayla gave me this scripture, Isaiah 65:1. And so the guy left sad. And he lost out on so much stuff that he could have got, right?
Yes.
You know? But if he would have had this different attitude and just, it's not so much, because we have that sometimes God's asking us to do some impossible things and we can take one or two approaches. Listen to me now, because God may be asking you to do something.
Come on.
And you can take one or two approaches, walk away sad with your head down like, man, I can't do that. How, like, I couldn't imagine life like that or anything. Or you can have a willingness like, well, Lord, teach me. Lord, show me how to get rid of my possessions. Lord, show me how to do all this stuff. He didn't know how to do that, but did he ever ask the Lord to help him, to show him how to do that? Isaiah 65:1 says this, the Lord says, I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, here I am. Here I am to the nation that did not call on my name. But right there, he said, I was ready to respond and help you, but you didn't ask me to help you. Even though I gave you a command, I didn't expect you to just walk away and do it, because with man, it's impossible.
That's
but
right.
With God, all things are possible. So will you, now that I've shown you what to do, will you ask me to help you?
Come on.
And so sometimes we walk away sad.
Man, I love something you said. It reminded me of sometimes we think ambition is wrong. Right? And so I heard a guy saying this one time where, you know, the disciples, they were talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus he didn't rebuke their ambition.
That's good.
What he did, he redirected.
And he met them right there with it.
He redirected that ambition to be in alignment with what it was supposed to be. Like,
yes.
Hey, if you want to be great, you got to be servant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he did, but he never rebuked the actual ambition.
Yes. He knew that they had those desires in them, and those are desires that the Lord placed in them, you know? It's like I heard a pastor say this once before. He said, all of us, the Lord has placed entrepreneurship in each and every one of us, you know? The parable of the talents. He gave one five, gave one two, and gave one to go out and to invest, to go out with ambition and drive to multiply that, you know?
That's right.
I want to read the verse of scripture real quick. I love this. And this is 2 Timothy 2:20. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he was talking about earlier up here, you know, putting basically guards at the gate, right? If you cleanse yourself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work.
Wow.
Man, I love that, being a vessel of honor.
Wow. That's good. That is. That man, that just, so now we're saying vessel. And, you know, when we understand that we are vessels, we are the temple, we carry ourselves differently, and we should. It's almost like, you know, you have some people have that special chinette set or something, and they're like, hey, don't touch that. And, you know, but the ones that are really serious, they go in there and they clean them up and make sure that nothing's in them. Because even though you can be a vessel and you think that, well, I'm not doing this, I'm not over here, and I'm not over there, but you are empty. And one of the things about a vessel, if we just set a vase here and just set it there over time, and just a couple of days, and just eventually some stuff gonna get in it. So we want to continue to be filled with the right things. So where people think that, well, I don't serve God, but I don't serve the devil. Yeah. You serving, I mean, if he said you either gonna love God or you're gonna love what? Mammon. So, and that's the things of the world. So I think understanding that he wants to live with us. He wants to take our keys to our house.
And another thing that I think continuously fills us up as well, is like I've said this the other day, Charles Stanley, I think it was, recently passed away. Well, last year, he was 90-something years old, and I reached out to an individual that followed him. I said, man, did you hear about Charles Stanley? I said, he was 90-something years old, and he passed away. And then the guy said, he said, man, I hope I can make it, you know, that long. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, the Lord determines our days, but I believe that Charles Stanley made it 90-something years old because he was doing the Father's business. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, yes, and it says in John 4, excuse me, when the Lord went and met that lady at the well, the Samaritan woman, and had that encounter with her, and then the disciples came and said, hey, are you hungry? He said, no, I'm good now. He said, what do you mean you're good? I'm paraphrasing it. He said, have you ate already? He said, yeah, basically. He said, my food is to do the Father's will. What does food do? It gives you strength. It gives you nourishment. It gives you energy. It refreshes you. Yes. You know, you got to live on it. And so what are you eating on? And sometimes the thing that keeps us going is definitely our secret place. Come on now. You got to be poured in before you can pour out. But also, if you're just being poured into, it's like the Dead Sea. Everything's being poured into it, but it's just sitting there and it's not got anywhere to flow out of. And so you can be poured into, but if you're not pouring out, doing the Father's will and going about the Father's business, there's a stagnation that takes place. There's a complacency that takes place.
Come on.
And there's, because the Lord created us not to be just a vessel for it to sit there, but like a funnel for it to be poured into and then poured out. And so there is, man, a refreshing. Kayla sent this message to somebody. They said they were reaching out to her about something and said, and she's like, hey, sorry I didn't get back to you. Kayla said that. She said, because, you know, we're doing ministry, and so we stay, you know, nonstop busy. She's like, oh, really? You and your husband? She's like, yeah, we do full-time ministry. And then the lady sent back a message, said, oh, wow. Well, you know what? I've thought about maybe doing, you know, full-time ministry. What's hard about it? This and that. And then basically, in a nutshell, Kayla said, you know, well, for us, it's not a job. It's a lifestyle.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not just like, hey, you know what? Today, I'm just going to go out. Like, I mean, it's a calling, but it's also a lifestyle. It's not like, I mean, you know, I find purpose in every day of just, you know, being about the Father's business, kingdom-minded stuff, and that refreshes and renews, but I gotta keep my secret place as well.
That's good.
Yeah, for sure. We were talking about what keeps the fire going, and I just think about testimony.
Amen. Like
we have to talk about what God does. And you even think about when the Israelites crossed over the Jordan, they said, take 12 rocks from the center, set it up as a monument. That way, when your kids come back, you can tell what happened here.
Amen.
Not that we continue to look at the past, but we have to look to see what God has done in our life. And once we sit down and reflect on what God's doing in our life and what God's doing in others' gosh, you can't do anything but to be grateful and praise him. But also expectant to what he's going to do in the future.
Yeah.
Sharing that testimony. If he does it for one person, he can do it again.
Yes, that's good.
So I think from this weekend, us sharing these testimonies, if you heard a testimony that we shared, know it's for you too.
Amen.
Know it's for you, and God can do it again, and he will.
Do you have a testimony that was favorite for you this weekend?
Oh, gosh.
Put her on the spot.
put her on the spot on that one.
Yeah. Well, I loved I loved what they shared about a greater boldness. Like, she was in Brazil. She did not know Portuguese, but what she did is she took what she did know and she spoke it, and God took that and started saving people.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Just her yes, her willingness,
yes,
and just sharing what she knew in that language, and God took that,
yes,
and he started to use that and so speak directly to the heart, really.
Yeah, and so because of that testimony, just like what she was saying, because of that testimony of what this young girl shared has now stirred up in Kim, like, you know what, there is. Oh, wow, you know, and that's going back, fan the flames of the giftings on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Sometimes by, man, like if that fire is about to go out, you kind of blow something on it. Well, sometimes it's us getting around each other and just fanning those flames, encouraging in the testimonies.
So I got to go back to Acts chapter 4, because I'm thinking, even when she's just talking about the testimonies, it made me think about Peter and John. And it's the first four verses there. It says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest and the captains of the temple guard. And it says, and some of the Sadducees, these leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. And so I'm thinking about the testimonies of, like, when people think that their situation is over with, like they think it's just a straight line, there's no life anymore. But we see that with somebody's testimony, shows, oh, wait, there is a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. It's faint, but it's there. Mm-hmm. They needed some life. And then we see that they arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them into jail until morning. But this is the part. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So they believed the testimonies that was going on. So that number of men who believed were at a total of 5,000. And so your testimony matters. Almost you need to think of this too, that when you are going through, you're not just going through for yourself. And understand, you're going through. You're not staying in it. But you want to be taught for a reason. Well, God, why am I going through this wilderness area to get to this promised land? But when you come through, you need to tell somebody. Let me tell you what happened to me. I thought it was no hope, that I was going to always be in a place of captivity. And I posted something on the way driving, and I said, you know, sometimes, because we'll think sometimes our deliverance is always going to be a free getaway. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a place of struggle. You're struggling, but if you continue to struggle to get out and fight, there is victory on the other side. And so when you come out, there's a thankfulness, but it's not for you just to be quiet, but it's for you to speak what God has done for you. And that's one of the things I really want to keep incorporated with the ministry and service and stuff like that. If somebody has a... Well, you can't just say, hey, anybody got a testimony, because some people are random. They talk about just
keep
stuff that don't.
Keep the mic.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, that just kind of killed us. You know, all right, everybody close your eyes. Let's get back. So, but there are testimonies that need to be heard. And when they share stuff, I'm like, man, God was doing this. Hey, do you mind sharing that? Mm-hmm. Do you mind? That's why even I had them come up yesterday. I'm like, our youth need to see this. Yeah. You need to see that it's not about, well, I need to have this before I do this, but what you have in your hand. Mm-hmm. What have I told you? Mm-hmm. I will empower you to do what you can't do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where he wants us. He wants us to that place of weakness, that he may show us power, that it can be strong in us. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say something real quick on testimony. And so as we're listening right there, I grew up in a culture where the word testimony actually was your salvation thing, right? Mm. Like, and so whenever I heard testimony, my mind automatically went to my salvation story. And if you grew up in that kind of culture, for me, it is that, but it's so much more.
That's
it's
right.
Also what the Lord has done for you. Like,
yes.
I immediately, As you guys are talking about testimony, I keep thinking about all the things that God has done in our life, and one just immediately come to my mind is our youngest son, Brady. When he was born, where it looked like his spine was tethered, like spina bifida, where he wouldn't even be able to walk. And, like, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and then, like, I mean, you guys, the dude runs around like, you know, man, hair on fire. Like, they didn't think he'd be able to walk. But totally, we went to a specialist and said, yeah, I don't really see anything, right? Like, it should be good. And so, I mean, that is a testimony, you know, and like those kind of things right there. And so, one is you hear testimonies, but also as we talk about stoking your fire, remembering the testimony of what the Lord has done for you.
Yes.
Right? Like keeping record of your testimony, continuing to stir that faith up inside of
you. Now, you just hit something that God told me to do, and I'm just trying to see what it needs to look like.
Yeah,
He gave me the idea to do the Hall of Miracles and, like, writing on the wall, like when people come in and they can read them. Mm. And so you reminded me of that. And because sometimes we soon forget. Mm. We'll go to the Hall of Miracles. Mm. See what He's done. This is what helped us when we read the Word of God. Mm. That, man, I thought I had it worse, but look, you brought them out, then you can bring me out. So I just thought about that. Maybe that's something that we should, you know, journaling our testimonies of what God has done. Because sometimes we forget the magnitude, and we almost dilute it because we have, hey, you know how it is. Sometimes what was our anniversary again? You know, I'm just saying some men. I'm just saying I've been there 15, 16 years. Well, baby, it's actually 18. Okay. I'm sorry. I got caught up. I was just trying to be younger. You know, that would be my fallback. But we should. I think that's a challenge that we should do. Let's write these things down. Write these miracles. So it's almost like when he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a reason.
Because they were reminded of what he did for all of them.
And so that's what we can teach our children. And I remember, and I tell my kids, even I remember when we were young and how God blessed us when my mom and dad were, we were staying in an apartment. And, I mean, they weren't making much of nothing, you know. But God had really moved upon my mom to say, you know, it's time for y'all to find something else. Like, God, we don't even have credit. We got one little car, and we trying to make it work. And I'm talking about it was like a little white little station wagon. I don't even know how that thing was working all the time. But she believed God because he gave her word. And I remember she took us to, she was driving. We was driving by this house, and she said, that's the house right there. That's what God has already put in my heart. Well, somebody stayed in the house. She had us as little ones to go out there and walk. We didn't like walk on the grass at the time, but we just kind of walked just on the the drive area, just on the road kind of. He said, and we're going to pray. This is our house. And so she put it in. She really instilled that in us that we would say, Ma, is that we house? That's when you were real young. So is that we house, Mama? Yeah, that's we house, you know. And so it was sparking faith that we believed it.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, that house came up for sale. Wow. And just so happened the house, when it came up for sale, she got unctioned her to go to the beauty shop. And she gets in a chair and she having small conversation. The lady that was doing her hair, it was her house.
Wow.
They didn't have the credit that they need, but the woman really believed that you really want that house, don't you? That she works them out where they just exchange payments. I'm just telling you what God can do. So I explained, I was telling my daughter yesterday, we were driving back to the house. I said, KK, I said, do you understand? I said, God has blessed us with this. Everything we have is because it's by his words and it's by the faith of believing. And I said, we got to continue to thank him and just understand the magnitude of that. But I kept going back to when we were young. That's we house. And I think that's what we got to start doing. We got to continue. Write those things down. It's not just, well, that was last year. And that's sad that if it was last year, you think like that. because you didn't have what you have now. And so I think if we continue to do that, to write these wall of miracles down and just kind of meditate on those things, I think God is, there's more that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above what all we could ask or think.
Or even imagine.
But I think sometimes we need to meditate on what he's already done. Mm-hmm. And stay there. So, I just had to share that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, what she was saying earlier about the Israelites when they crossed over and they placed the stones in the waters just to, as a reminder, it's those spiritual markers.
Yeah.
That we need in our lives. And so you definitely always go back and look at the those markers in your life, and it gives you encouragement. It's almost like here's an analogy once before. Like, I have a ditch line out in my at my house that I would have to weed eat, and I hate getting out there to weed eat the ditch line. I mean, it's a long, deep ditch line. But thankfully, I got a teenager now that can go out there and do it, and he enjoys it. But when I was out there doing it, man, I would start weed eating it, and it would take me forever. And I'd get, I'd be out there for a while, and I'd look in front of me, and I'd get so discouraged. I'm like, man, I got so far I've got to go. I've been out here. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. And I'm getting discouraged looking ahead of how much more I've got to weed eat. And then I stop for just a moment, and I look behind me, and I realize, like, wow, I've made it over halfway. Like, I've made it a lot further than I was even expecting. And guess what that did? When I looked behind me and seen how far I had came, yeah, it encouraged me to go even further. I can do this. You know what? It's not going to take that long because I'm a lot further than I was expecting already. Yeah. And it's good for us to go back and look at those things.
Yeah.
And it's like what I was going to say earlier is, so you said that when 5,000 believed, when Peter and them were talking, 5,000 believed. And it's like what you were talking at the very first, they believed because they seen it. And you may hear this and believe, but you still got to activate the faith.
That's right.
What does that mean? By stepping out in whatever it is that he's asking you to, that you're believing in.
That's right.
A Way Out Ministry, the basis of the scripture is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And the last part says this, and when you are tempted, not if, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out. And so many people stop there, but that's not where it stops. A way out so that you can endure it.
That's it.
So he doesn't just deliver you away from it. Sometimes you got to endure it. So you may be at that place right now that you're fixing to have to walk through to receive that testimony. Well, it's not sometimes just miraculously, okay, it's going to be done or it's going to be over with. Sometimes it's going to be you having to walk through it.
Yes.
One of the first visions I've got, and I'll end on it, is when I was at the Dream Center, there was a teacher that was there telling us to close our eyes and just kind of meditate. And I had a vision of me walking down this field and walking down this path. And in this path, there was a big hole right in the middle of the path. And right beside it was a worn down path around it. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say? And then I come back to the vision again. And this time there's a hand over the hole that's in the middle of the pathway. And so the Lord revealed it to me. All my life, there's big issues, there was this problem, there's these struggles that I had to go through, and all my life, I would walk around them.
Wow.
And there was a worn path that I would walk around them. And so no wonder why I always came back to it and always struggled with it and all these other different things. And the vision the Lord gave me was the hand, like, okay, now you're going to walk through it. Now you're going to endure this, but you're not going to do it by yourself, but you're going to do it with me.
Thank
with
you,
man,
Lord.
This is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
And so he gives you a way out to endure it so that you can go through it with him. And how do you know he's a deliverer unless you first need him to deliver you?
Come on.
How do you know he's a redeemer, a restorer, or a restorer, whatever the case may be, unless you first need him to do that for you?
Yeah, that's so good. Y'all got anything to add there?
Well, all I was going to say is I was just, we had asked the question, how do you stay on fire? And I just kind of, what we had talked about is spend time with the Lord, spend time with his presence, and just get there and then value his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a verse of scripture that says, be careful how you listen, because the way that you listen, the more will be given, right?
Yes.
Like, be careful
that's so
how
good.
You listen. And then spend time with the burning ones. Spend time with other people who are on fire. Testimony of what the Lord has done for others, like that just shows you what's possible, and then the testimony of what he's done in your life.
Yes.
Amen.
Those are just some things that we've talked about so far here of how do you stay on fire and how do you actually, you know, build that fire.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
And so Kim, you have anything before? I don't want to make sure. I had a scripture that I was looking at because I believe, like you say, staying on fire. One thing about just us staying on fire is also that he's doing something new because he's burning old things out. Right?
Wow, that's good. He's a good fire.
There is a scripture that I was looking at here, and I think this should touch each and every one of us for the ones that are listening. But Isaiah 43:19, it says this, "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun." Mm. So regardless of what you got going on, he's already begun. Mm. He already knew. And then it says, "Do you not see it?" So it ties into what you said, or even what you're hearing versus even what you're seeing. And then it says, "I will make a pathway."
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
"Through the wilderness."
Through, not around.
No, not around. No more going around this thing.
And then the last, it says, "I will create rivers in the dry wasteland."
Wow. Wow. And in order to get it, you had to go through it.
There you go.
Come on.
That's it. So over the river, through the woods, he has something for you.
To the Lord's house we go.
That's it. I love that. I love that. But it, I mean, if you on and you're listening, because we have been getting a lot of testimonies and people are listening and the Holy Spirit has been talking to them and just giving them this boldness and that's what we want.
Hey, Mark Stansky, yeah. you yesterday at church, you shared what the word for boldness was. Can you share that here?
Yeah, I can. I sure can. So when I was looking in the scripture, and I want to make sure I spell it right, but let me make sure I spell it right, so I won't mess nobody up.
You can just say it's Greek, and we're in Mississippi. And
okay. So the word that when you look at the word for boldness in Greek, it means to tell it all. And when it means to tell it all, that means you don't leave anything out. Mm-hmm. And so for us to have boldness, we got to be willing to tell it all. We cannot leave anything out. We can't leave nothing out. And so are you willing today to tell it all? Are you willing to be that person that is going to, like, I'm giving God all, that then I can tell it all, you know? So that's what I believe, that's what he's calling us to do. And this is the time to be bold, not to be quiet. Mm. And I keep going to the scripture that talks about that we need to cry aloud and spare not. But it's in the way of love. And I think about John the Baptist all the time. And I think about even how he just said, what? Prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what people are looking. They're looking for truth. And there's two types of people. That this is something that God gave me yesterday when I was leaving. There are some people that are looking for something to believe in. They're looking for something to believe in, but then you got another type of people that don't have a belief in nothing. And so you got some that it's easier for somebody that is hungry, that's looking for some kind of belief. But when you have somebody that you got to tackle that does not have a desire for no belief, the only way we can speak to them is in boldness. Mm-hmm. And it's not in ourselves, but it's, we're going in and being the Peter and John, and we're standing before them and we're talking. They're just amazed. What in the world? I mean, where's this language and the way they put these words together? We need to write some of this stuff down. That's what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. But that's the boldness that God is doing. So I'm just challenging each and every one of you and ourselves. We challenge ourselves to continue to tell it all, that we can be bold as a lion and we can be courageous. And I believe that's what God is going to do. So if you're on at this time, we want Kim, you think you can pray us out and just pray for just, you know, however the Lord leads. But I just think it's been very, very well how God is just leading, and they're needing just direction. So if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for today. Thank you for these men in this room, Lord. We just praise you today. We praise you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you will do, Lord. We're thanking you for providing. We thank you for breakthrough. We thank you for leading us out.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God. Lord, we just ask for increased boldness in our speech, Lord. Increased boldness in our actions. And we just impart that to the listeners as well, Lord. Yes. If you're asking God for increased boldness, just receive right now. He wants to give that to you. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you and you speak with boldness. Lord, we ask for opportunity.
Yes.
We ask for stepping out. We ask for hearts that are ready to receive.
Yes.
Actually, no, we know the harvest is ready, Lord, that you're just looking for laborers.
Yes.
We thank you that you want to partner.
Thank you, Lord.
That you look for sons and daughters that you can speak through,
yes, God.
That you can work through to carry out your will, Lord. So we just give you our yes.
Yes, God.
We give you our feet, we give you our hands, we give you our life. That you will lead us and direct us. And that the boldness comes from you, Lord.
Yes, God.
That we will be obedient in what we think is the impossible.
Yes. Thank you.
Because we know everything is impossible is possible with you. Nothing is impossible with you.
Yes.
But everything is possible.
Yes.
We're so... We just say yes and amen.
Yes, God.
We love you so much.
Yes, God.
In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
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 Hey, we believe the best for each and every one of you. Mm. And even how we just come in and we just want to hear from God and what, you know, what help lead you in whatever direction that is that he's calling you to. And it's by example through, you know, testimonies. And so that's what we try to do. But we thankful for each and every one of you tuning in. And we will be back here in next week. And we just never know who you will have on the
that's
set.
Right.
But,
right.
Hey, I am Michael Stamps. One of the things I say is, you know, we want to make sure that you grow in faith, that you grow in space and grow in grace. And we have
Chris Payne,
Corey Lee,
Kim Lee, and thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, yes, we're glad to have you.
Definitely.
Tune in next week. Love you guys.
That was good.
Man, that was good.
Ooh, Kim.